Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things, that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Rumah, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thadhash, and Machan. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. And so particularly I want to speak to some of the younger people who are listening in at the moment, and to remind you that we value your company, we value your presence, and we trust that the Lord will bless you also as you come and share his worship with us today. It appears from what we've been reading in this passage in Genesis chapter 22 that what is said to Abraham this second time when the angel of the Lord speaks out of heaven is actually spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is worth remembering that when the Bible speaks of the angel of the Lord, it is speaking of one who is a messenger of the Lord. And there is no reason why that messenger should not be the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God-man. For while we think of Jehovah as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Godhead, yet it is the God-man who speaks. It is the God-man who is, as it were, the Word, the living Word. That is why at the beginning of John's Gospel we read, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here it seems to be the God-man who is speaking when the angel of the Lord speaks a second time to Abraham. And it is also worth remembering that when the Lord speaks, it's because he has got something to say. And when he speaks a second time, it is because he has something to say that it will be good for us to listen to. And so let us be men and women, boys and girls, let us be those who have a desire to hear what the angel of the Lord, what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to us. In verse 16, we see that the angel of the Lord declares, By myself have I sworn. And that is a very powerful affirmation. It is a very powerful confirmation of God's purpose. It's as if he is saying, I am swearing an oath. I am declaring that this is absolutely true. And indeed, the Word of God notices this, because in the New Testament, we're reading today, of course, in the book of Genesis, which is the very first book in the Bible, but in the book of Hebrews, which is towards the end of the New Testament, we discover there that this little verse is referenced by the writer to the Hebrews. It may have been the Apostle Paul, but it is referenced in chapter 6, verse 13. And we're told there that for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. So what we're seeing here is God is swearing by himself. He is saying that I promise to you by all the attributes that I have, by my very person myself, that what I have declared to you will most certainly take place. So this was a comfort and encouragement to Abraham, that God was swearing with such powerful affirmation that he would do for him all the things that he had said he would do. It's a renewal with this supreme assurance for Abraham's faith. And I wanted just to make a little point here, because some people teach us, some preachers and some churches speak about free will. And they say that free will means that men and women are free in their will to either accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, or believe in him or not believe in him. And it's all got to do with the individual's choice, and it's all got to do with the individual's will. And we call that teaching free will. And it is opposed and it contradicts the teaching of the Bible, which teaches us that God chooses and God ordains and God directs those who will come to him in faith for salvation. But it's verses like these that, if not explicitly, then certainly implicitly, show how wrong free will teaching is. Because here God is promising to Abraham, and he is saying, I am promising you by all that I am, that you will be the father of both natural and spiritual children in multitudes. He swears by his own honor and attributes that Abraham will be father to a spiritual multitude. Now, if God is swearing that this will be the case, how can it be up to men's individual free will that that is going to happen? Is God God? Spiritual life is God's gift. It is not for men to will it for themselves, but it is God's gift. And what God was promising to Abraham is that he would give his life, he would give his spiritual life, he would give his gift of salvation to a whole multitude of whom Abraham would be father in the faith. That he would be their father in the faith. And that's what we see in verse 18. It's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed that would come from Abraham, and that he would be a blessing to all nations of the world. So that all the nations of the world, not just the Jews, not just the children of Israel in the natural line of Abraham, but all the nations of the world would be blessed by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the giving of God's grace to his people, and in the saving of their souls. You know, the Bible tells us that someday soon, when the church is in heaven, we are, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, going to sing a new song. And the words of that new song are these: Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. So that the Lord Jesus Christ's people are from every family, every language, every nation, every people. This is the promised spiritual people that were given to Abraham. And Abraham's faith and trust in God was honoured by God. Faith is a gift which God gives, but God honours that faith as it is exercised in the lives of his people. Abraham was faithful to God's calling. May the Lord give us faith, and may we be faithful to that calling, to the salvation of our souls. Abraham and Isaac returned home to Beersheba. We're not actually told that Isaac made that journey, but it's pretty obvious that he did, because we afterwards hear of him back there in Beersheba. They collected the young men on their way. And in the final verses of this chapter, we are told about Abraham's brother's children, his wife and concubines. A concubine was a sort of servant wife. She wasn't a full wife, kind of half wife maybe, but these were often servants who bore children to their masters, and it was an acceptable, at least to a degree, activity in those early days of the world, no doubt for the multiplying of people in the world. But here we discover something about the family and genealogy of Abraham's brother. And really, it's only given to us, I think, for one principal reason. It is designed to introduce us to Rebecca, a very beautiful young woman who soon would become Isaac's wife. So Isaac was Abraham's son. Isaac was the one who had been given back to Abraham, as it were, from the dead, because Abraham found the ram in the thicket, and the ram was sacrificed, and Abraham went back to his father. And now Isaac is, Isaac went back to his father. Now Isaac is growing up, and soon he is to take a wife, and this wife will be Rebekah. Let me just say something about that to you, and then we'll be finished at this stage of our service. Sometimes, and not only when we're young, but especially when we're young, we wonder and we worry about what the future holds for us. Who will we marry? Where will we meet them? Where will we live? What will we do? And the world can seem a very scary place with lots of uncertainty. These verses remind us that God is in control of all things. And when we believe him, he will reward our trust by providing for all our needs. Isaac had never met Rebecca, but God was preparing Rebecca, unbeknown to Isaac, to become Isaac's wife. One day, Rebecca would become the mother of Jacob and Esau. And one day, many years to come, from that line would come David, who would be king, would come Solomon, and ultimately would come Jesus Christ himself, and that great nation that had been promised to Abraham. You see how God's plans were working out? God's plan in action? Let us not be fearful, and let us not worry when we trust in the Lord. He has our lives in the palm of his hands. He has our lives under control. There's two verses from Proverbs that I want to finish with. Verse 5 of chapter 3 and verse 25 of chapter 29. And this is what they say when I put them together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. May the Lord enable us to trust him and keep us safe. Amen.